Oh, yeah, is right. We are going to do it good here this afternoon. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Express Yourself on this final Friday of March. So hard to believe. I know. God, it's crazy. It's crazy. We're broadcasting from the heart of the Carbondale Creative District, and we are your hosts, Amy Kimberly and
Brian Colley. And we have a great show lined up today. We'll hear all about the good bands coming to the Palisade Bash, the third weekend of April. And we catch up with David Taylor of the Zicker Dance Company, performing at the Ute Theater on April 5th.
But first, we have Rita Marsh in the studio talking spring into wellness, taking place in Carbondale on First Fridays, and other healthy news. So stay with us. We'll make your day better. Some people have everything and other people don't. But everything don't mean a thing if it ain't the thing you want. Express yourself. Express yourself. All right, we are going to be expressing ourselves here this afternoon. We have Rita Marsh in the studio with us, and she is the founder of the Center for Human Flourishing, whose mission is we invite individuals and communities to engage in opportunities for growth that ignite the full potential of the human spirit. And in that spirit, Rita helps start and keeps it going, spring into wellness. Welcome, Rita.
Thanks, Amy. Thanks, Brian. Yeah, 10 years.
10 years?
I can't believe
it. Wow. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, 10 years of spring into wellness.
Yes.
Okay, because you originally started out as Davi Nikent, and that was how many years ago?
2003.
Oh, wow. So
was
more than 10 years.
More 10 years for the organization, but Spring Into Wellness is 10 years. And thanks to Margaret Donnelly, who came in with us and decided we were going to do this to boost well-being in the community and to showcase practitioners and businesses who help us stay healthy.
That's right. I remember when pickleball first came out. Remember, we had like the pickleball players out on 4th Street.
I think that's coming back.
Is it?
I think this year,
for
yes.
First Friday, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Brian, are you going to be a pickleball player?
I will be, yeah, the destroyer of pickleball player. Just kidding.
Well, Rita, can you tell our audience what Spring Into Wellness is?
It's a showcasing of local businesses and practitioners who come together at the Carbondale Rec Center so folks can tour around the gym and the rec center, meet the people, get some tastes of what they have to offer, and just realize what an amazing community we have in the healing arts here in Carbondale and beyond.
That's right. We consider the healing arts a strong part of the Carbondale Creative District. So, thanks for showcasing that. So how many practitioners do you have coming and what kind?
We have 30 different businesses signed up so far, and the door is still open to take more up until probably Thursday, so we can really do people justice to get the word out about who's going to be there. So we have acupuncture, Carbondale Community Acupuncture. We have the Crystal Blanket folks, Arthur Franklin and his wonderful fibers, headquarters. Is going to be participating this year. I'm so adamant that we have the mental health community represented. It's so needed right now. Mm-hmm. And High Mountain Medicinals, we hope, will be present. Roaring Fork Reflexology, come and get your feet tuned up.
That's nice.
And there's and there's more.
Wow, so that's a lot. So you can go between 5 and 7.
Is five and 8.
5 and 8. You can head over to the rec center and just engage with all sorts of different healers and practitioners.
Right. And this year we're encouraging folks who are coming from out of town to come in and park at 4th and Colorado in the lot by the town hall and start their first Friday at the rec center and then up the promenade and into town to see.
Probably good idea before you go out drinking. Go get the healthy stuff first and then. So with Spring Into Wellness, you guys hinted that there is also going to be some pickleball out on 4th Street. Is that correct? I believe so.
Yeah, I think Eric was working on that.
The Roaring Fork Pickleball Association is rallying some members to come show people the ropes.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Because I remember, Rita, when you first started this, it'd be like people had to run all over the place to find the different practitioners. And now you really have it central location, so it's really nice. People can walk around and you know, get a taste of everything. They're probably not giving out candy over there now, are they?
No. We do have an interesting thing we do is play Spring Into Wellness Bingo.
Oh, nice.
The rec center, you pick up a card that's got 12 spaces, and you go around and talk to the people at the tables, get them to initial it, then drop the card into a green box before you head out, and the people who participated, the practitioners and businesses, have donated wonderful prizes. So we draw cards and notify people, and they can pick up their prizes at the rec center the couple of weeks after the event.
That's fantastic. And I don't know, is La Clinica going to be there?
Yes.
Good. Uh-huh. Good. Yeah. So there are some things that people can access with for Spanish speakers.
Yes,
too,
absolutely.
Yeah.
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 La Clinica del Pueblo is one of our best partners at 3rd Street and love working with them. And also, we couldn't do this without Carbondale Arts and Deb Colley. And also at the rec center, a new person who's helping out is Brian Froelich. He's the aquatic director.
Yeah, that's right. Because Margaret actually, I guess, is on her way to Australia, New Zealand.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big move.
Big move, yes. Uh-huh.
Well, that's exciting. So let's talk a little bit about the Center for Human Flourishing. So you guys are, what, 23 years old or thereabouts?
Yes.
And Rita, you are, you've lived in Carbondale how many years?
Since 77, we moved out from Aspen.
So you've been here a long time. What made you start this Center for Human Flourishing, mm-hmm. as it's now known?
Well, there were several of us who got together. There was an business administration section of the town at one point, and they were looking for a new business to come in to bring people and bring just more wellness into Carbondale. And we said, why don't we see about an integrative approach to well-being and see what can come of that. So it's been quite a journey. Our first name, Davi Nakent, was gifted to us by Clifford Duncan, a Northern mm-hmm. Ute elder. Mm-hmm. We asked Clifford, what is a word or what are Ute words that mean reconnection to spirit? Because so much of our malaise in this society is because we've lost that connection mm-hmm. to spirit and to the natural world. So he gave us the sounds, Davi Nakent, and we had to spell it out. But it worked for some time, but people kept saying, who's Davy?
Yeah.
And in the meantime, I had met Dr. Elliot Dasher, who's an integral medicine physician who wrote the book Integral Health, The Path to Human Flourishing. And through relationship with Elliot over the years, we were gifted by him this name, the Center for Human Flourishing. And at its core, it's based on the Asclepian temple tradition of healing back in the day in the Mediterranean. So there's quite a history behind it, and people can look that up on our website.
Nice. Wow. And so what are some of the events? Is the Center for Human Flourishing, are there things that happen there that maybe aren't events? Or is it basically you put on different wellness events?
Different wellness events, and we have certain ones that run over time, like a meditation that's done under the auspices of Lisa McKenzie, Golden Light mm-hmm. Meditation from the teacher Gary Springfield, and that's an ongoing program. Another ongoing program is our monthly potluck, whole food mm-hmm. plant-based potluck, through our wonderful relationship with retired physician Dr. Greg Feinsinger. And we also have pretty regularly a vibrational sound healing journey with Zach Cashin and his wife Krista, and the next one's coming up on the 18th, Friday the 18th of this month.
And let's just talk about that a moment. So they do this maybe monthly there?
Every 2 months.
Every
right
2 months. Mm-hmm. And what happens in this particular sound healing? Like, for people that don't know,
The Round Room, of course, is a very special place at Third Street Center, and that's where Zach sets up his gongs and bowls, and Krista, his wife, is there to offer aromatherapy and healing touch for people. So folks gather and they bring their yoga mats and find a space in the room. And through sound and through vibration, the body is cleared of energy blocks. And more and more is beginning to be known about the power of vibrational and sound healing. A lot of scientific studies about the effectiveness of it. People are immersed in this experience for about an hour, hour and a half during one of the sessions.
Wow. And really, all you have to do as a participant is go in and lie down, right?
Be present.
Yeah. And be present and just like breathe and feel the vibration.
Yes.
Yeah. It's pretty relaxing, really. Mm-hmm. And really, like you come out feeling different for sure.
Yes. Yeah. This month, we've also had the pleasure of working with Lisa Dancing Light and Deanna Genet, who are doing a series on healthy aging.
Oh.
Their second session is coming up April 2nd. You can see this information on the website, and they have 6 sessions in this series.
All right.
Highly recommended.
Nice. Nice. See, you guys are really busy. And do you find that you get busier in the spring, or is it just an all year round kind of?
Summer months tend to be quieter mm-hmm. because I think people are drawn more to be outside, and there's so many outdoor events happening. So that seems to be a little off season for our indoor programs.
Mm-hmm.
But we do intend to have a big celebration for the summer solstice coming up in June. Mm-hmm. And I'm absolutely thrilled. An amazing teacher, clinician, I guess you would call her, Suzanne Giesman, who is an evidential medium, is coming in June. This will be her 5th visit to Carbondale. And if you don't know Suzanne's story, I highly recommend looking up a documentary called Messenger of Hope.
Wow. Maybe we should have her on this show. So does she just do a session for everybody, or do people sign up for?
She is bringing this time a documentary from her book, Wolf's Message. Mm-hmm. Very interesting story of a young man who was killed by lightning. And she was able to assist his parents to reconnect with him through the veil. It's a profound story, and we'll be putting out publicity around this pretty soon so people can sign up for Suzanne's program.
Well, what if people do want to find you, or do you put out a monthly newsletter, or how can people stay connected with the center?
We have an e-letter that goes out once a month. You can find how to sign up on our website. Oh, and I do want to put a plug out. We're still open to have more people for Spring Into Wellness, so you can, folks can contact us by info@tcfhf.org.
Okay. Say that again.
TCFHF, the initials.
Right.
Yeah. .org.
Perfect. Yeah. Yeah. Because how many more do you have room for, do you think?
Maybe 10 more tables we can fit into the rec center.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So if you're a physical therapist, a healer, an herbalist,
massage therapist,
it's a good place to sign up.
Yes. And mental health counselors. Mm-hmm. If you're new to the community, we'd love to meet you and help our folks here in the community.
All right. Well, that sounds great. So anything else before we go, Rita? You got so much going on. I see you still looking at all the things.
I just want to have people look at what Deanna Janae and Lisa Dancing Light are doing around this series with healthy aging. I think this next session coming up is working with grief through grief.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know our community needs support with that right now.
That's right. That's right. There is a lot of grief out there, and it's manifesting in many, many ways. Yeah. Yeah.
So thank you.
Wow. Well, thank you, Rita. So Spring Into Wellness, folks, that's First Fridays, which is a week from today. Can't believe it. April. It's its 10th year anniversary?
Yes.
Wow. You can find out all about it or just pop into the rec center between 5 and 8 next Friday, and you will come out learning something for sure, for sure. All right. Well, thanks so much, Rita. We will we look forward to next Friday.
Appreciate you, too.
Thank you. Hello? No. Hello, Kalinda. You're on the air.
Hi. Hello.
All right. All right. Yeah. It's so good to have you on.
Yeah, thanks for having us. I really appreciate you reaching out and kind of giving time to talk about the Pussy Bluegrass Bash.
All right. So, Kalinda, for our listening audience, helps coordinate the Palisade Bluegrass Bash along with Bud Frisinger. And the bash is the 17th to the 20th this year of April. Kind of a lot happens around it. And I always feel it like really wakes up Palisade and kicks off the music season. So can you tell our listeners a little bit about what it actually is?
Yeah, so me and Bud and Matt Tharp actually kind of started it back in 2021 after COVID had happened. And just kind of we're trying to figure out ways to bring good bluegrass music and kind of bring the community back together, kind of get the venues back up and running and just really bring the music scene back into Palisade. Then after doing it that first year, it kind of went well and kicked off. This is our fifth year doing it. The venues that are involved this year, we have Talbot, which is up on the hill, which is our cider stage, Palisade Brewery, which is the PBC stage, Sirocco Cellars, which is our poorhouse stage, and then the Livery, which does more of our late night.
That is awesome. And for people that don't know, like the Talbot's stage, it's so cool. It's outdoors. All these venues except maybe the Livery are outdoors.
Yep, correct.
Yeah. And they made a stage out of all their old big apple crates, I guess they are.
Yeah.
And there's food trucks up there, and so many people come out. And DeRocco is right when you get off the I-70 at the main Palisade entrance, and it's right there. It's right there, and it should be fun this year because they just opened a new restaurant right there, right?
Yep, they're going to serve pizza and kind of appetizer stuff. And it's a really great season because it's right in the spring. So all the blossoms are coming out, the cherries, peaches, apricots. It's just really beautiful to be outside and around all of the blossoms and things like that.
Right. I think, you know, last year when I was working it, I met so many people from all the mountain towns because I think they're looking for a little springtime, and coming down to Palisade gives it to all of us that live up a little higher in the mountains. So are there any bands you're excited about?
Yes. Our lineup this year is awesome. So really all of them are great, but to call out some that we're really excited about, we've got Fireside Collective, which is a big one for us. Magoo, which is kind of a big one. And then Silas Herman and the Tone Unit, who's going to be doing all of our late nights.
That's right. And Silas was there last year as well, correct?
He was. He was kind of more of an artist at large, kind of hopping in and playing with bands. For this year, he'll kind of have more of his own set.
See, he had so much fun. He just had to come back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and
a lot of the bands are reoccurring. We do have a couple of new ones, but with building these relationships, a lot of them have come back, and we've kind of created this little family with the Bash.
Yeah, I thought that Fireside Collective had played there before.
But they have played in Palisade. They played for our Peach Fest a couple years ago. This is the first time they're actually playing with the Bash.
Oh, well, you know, they played at the Palisade Bluegrass Festival, too. But for some reason, I thought that they had played with you guys. They're really great. They're so much fun. I found that this year's lineup, you have a little more Americana and diverse music going on, which I think is really cool, like Cactus Cuts. Arkansas is pretty fun. They're already on their fifth album, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that'll come out, which is actually exciting. That comes out the 21st, so that'll be right after they play the Bash. They'll have their album come out.
Oh, nice, nice.
So we will get some surprise songs, hopefully.
So explain, so this is how it works, because I think, you know, it might be hard for people to imagine. The music starts, well, Thursday and Friday, what do you have going on?
So Thursday is our official kickoff party. That'll be up at Talbot Cider. From 5 to 6:30, we've got Cactus Cuts, and then 7 to 9, Arkansas. And then Friday's the official day of the festival. It starts a little bit later because we found that people coming into town, they can get a little situated in their campsites. Then we'll kick it off Friday night, and then it'll be all day Saturday and all day Sunday.
Yeah, it's great. And since you mentioned camping, what's the deal?
So camping, we have a sponsorship through Basecamp RV. If you give them a call, they can go ahead and set up a site for you. We've got some deals going on, and kind of set up the campsite just for us so that sites are available for people.
And, you know, it's very cool at Base Camp. Last year, I actually stayed at Base Camp when I was doing the Bash in a little cabin, because they have little cabins, too, and they have RV hookups. But the campgrounds are down by the river are just so beautiful.
They are really beautiful. And those we're actually using for our artists. So anything up above, you can do a tent or camping van, anything like that. And then we do have a shuttle that'll be going from the campground to the venue so that people don't have to worry about driving.
That's awesome. And then, you know, a lot of times those musicians come back and they want to jam. So do you foresee some late night campground jams?
We do, yeah. That's the plan.
That's the hope.
We're encouraging it, so.
Yeah. So there's a little something for everyone at Base Camp, and it's right along the Colorado River. Very spectacular location, I think. So now the thing is, you can buy a ticket to one show, or you can buy a pass to all of them. How's that work?
So how we're doing it this year is it is $25 for the whole weekend. That includes all 22 bands.
So crazy. So cheap. That's like a dollar something per band, people.
Yeah. $25 for 22 bands. The late nights are going to be a separate charge. Those are $15 just because of the capacity. We want to make sure that we're having a little more control over it.
Mm-hmm.
So buy your tickets now, because once they are gone, they are done. You can either buy your ticket ahead of time online at the Palisade Bluegrass Bash site. We do have links on our Facebook and Instagram as well. And then we will have spots available to purchase tickets during the festival at each venue.
And like the Livery, which is your late night venue, I mean, that only fits how many people in there?
We're doing 120 tickets.
Yeah, so that's small. If you can stay up late enough, that might be the place for you. But during the day, there's so much going on. And you can go from venue to venue. So how do you schedule it that for the most, like, effect where people can be everywhere? Especially, I see Bud running around everywhere. He's like...
We do have more of a team this year to kind of hold down the fort, but it was really just looking at past years and seeing what it makes sense to where people can hop from venue to venue without having to miss any shows, and just kind of trying to keep that in mind of where people want to see and stay and making it accessible to where people can hit every show without it overlapping too much.
Yeah, that's great. And then also in between, you can go to wineries, you can go to Fidel's and have some good food or pesh. Or...
All of the farm stores will be open.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really cute restaurants downtown that will be open all through the festival as well.
Yeah, so how many people do you think you've been drawing over the, you know, each year? It's hard to tell, but it's crowded.
It is hard to tell. The guests from the last year, we kind of 2,000 to 3,000 people. Mm-hmm. We're trying to hit a little bit closer to 3,000 to 5,000 this year.
Okay. And, you know, for people that have never been, it's not like 2,000 to 3,000 all at one time in one place. Like, each venue feels very intimate and personal. Like, it's not crowded at all. It's really relaxed and chill. But throughout the whole weekend, people come. You also have Woodbelly. They're favorites there at the Bash, right?
This is, I think, their fifth year. I think they've been to every single one at this point. So that's exciting.
Yeah, yeah, it's awesome. And there's actually a local guy here from Carbondale that used to play in Woodbelly, and he usually shows up and sings along with the band, which really is special and fun. And do you see that a lot of times people sit in with each other?
They do, yes, especially towards the late night shows. That's what's really cool about it. A lot of these bands have really good relationships and are all friends, so they're all excited to come and see each other and play with each other again.
Right.
And kind of choose and call each other up on stage. And that's kind of what makes it such a cooler experience. You don't get to see these bands play together as often as they normally do.
So you know who I thought was really interesting? Derek Dames. Tell me about him.
He's great. This, I think, is his second year coming. He's more of a solo act. He's been with a couple of people. He'll be playing on Sunday morning, 11 to 12:30. And does a lot of different cool covers. He's really fun, kind of a nice, easy listening morning.
Mm-hmm.
Good way to get your started before we dance bumps for Firefly.
That's perfect. And we were just playing as we were getting you on the phone. Liver Down the River, their favorite here in our area. Yeah, that should be fun. Well, so, Kalinda, I know you... Wait, what did you say?
They just had a new album come out this year as well. So we're hoping that
Oh, good.
New song.
Well, that's fantastic. So everybody, they can find, why don't you give that website one more time?
It's going to be palisadebluegrass.com. And then if you look up Palisade Bluegrass Bash on Facebook or Instagram, you'll be able to find us.
We don't want you to get that mixed up with palisademusic.com. Or do we? No. Hey, I also know.
Great festival.
I know. And it's awesome because Bud also does the side stage at Palisade Bluegrass and Roots Festival. And, you know, he's just always got his finger on the bands that are happening. And I know that you guys have a big show at Talbot's this Saturday, Pressing Strings.
We have Pressing Strings in River, Arkansas. They'll be there at Talbot's on Saturday. They're tapping the keg at 5, and then music will start at 6.
Yeah, I just was in there. I just checked out the venue the other day. And it's so cool, you guys. It's like the place where they keep all their apples cold in the summer. But it's this big room, and they go all out. They work hard at kind of transforming the room. And they have the little tap wagon there. And I love Pressing Strings. They're going to be playing at Palisade Bluegrass and Roots this year, and I've just been listening to them a lot. I really like them. So that should be a good show, too.
Yeah, those have been really fun. I'm excited for it.
That's what I hear. I hear that I wish if I could make it, I would be there. But, Kalinda, you guys have been doing a great job. I'm looking forward to coming down there for the bash. And everyone should check it out. It's kind of the like, here we go summer. It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Yeah, we're excited. Hope to see you all there.
All right. Well, thanks so much for calling into KDNK.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Bye.
Well, I played you a story that's got no end. I forgot my love and I lost my friend. The morning was easy, the sun was my charm. But this darkness about to do me some harm. I locked my doors and the windows
too. All right. Now on to our next segment. Are you there, David?
Yes, I am.
Hey, that worked out great. Good timing. Thanks for giving us a call here on KDNK. How's it going? Where are you? Are you in Denver right now?
We are in Boulder. We open our 2025 spring season tonight at the Dairy Center in Boulder. So the dancers are on stage doing some blocking, and then they take company class, and then away we go.
That's right. I forgot you. You're starting your tour around Colorado and I think into New Mexico as well. Is that right?
That's right. We have three shows here in the Denver metro area, but we also are performing in Rifle, in Grand Junction, and in Taos, New Mexico.
Wow. Well, I should back up a little bit. David Taylor is the artistic director of Zicker Dance Ensemble, based in Denver, but you're going to be touring here all around for your spring season. I know you've been involved with the dance community in Denver for, I think, over 5 decades now. Is that right?
That's right.
That's really impressive. And I'd love to hear a little bit about that history as a dancer and a director. How did it all get started for you?
Well, it got started first for me as a dancer with Colorado Ballet back in 1970.
Wow.
And then I danced for 12 years. And then my teacher at that time gave me my first opportunity to choreograph. And that changed my whole world. So I founded my first company in 1979, David Taylor Dance Theater. We're Denver's first contemporary ballet company.
Wow.
And then in 2006, I founded Zicker. And this is going into our 16th season for Zicker. I can hardly believe it.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah. And Zicker, where did that name come from? I was just curious.
Zikr is an Arabic word.
Okay.
It means the it's actually got Sufi derivations,
mm-hmm.
and it means two things. It means the remembrance of God within ourselves, but it's also the term given to the Sufi dervish ceremonies, which include chants, music, and the spinning of the whirling dervishes.
Wow. Yeah, so there's a lot of history in that one word. That's really interesting. Yeah. And the Zikr Dance Ensemble offers, I was reading the website, you guys offer a spectrum of works that include, you know, transcendent dance rituals from many different ancient world cultures throughout history, but along with and mixed in with original and contemporary dance and theater realizations. Is that what is coming, I guess, to the Ute Theater on April 5th here in Rifle?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And one of the pieces we are doing is from the repertoire of a mystic by the name of Gurdjieff. And he taught about 400 sacred dances to his students. But this one that we're doing is really unique. It's from his repertoire, but it's not one he created. It's one he witnessed in his travels around Central Asia around the turn of the 20th century. He happened to walk into a small village where they were having a funeral, and there were professional women mourners who were doing this particular dance, and he was mesmerized by it. He felt intuitively that it came from a higher source. And when asking the women about the dance, they said it was over 2,000 years old.
Wow.
And it was designed to safeguard the passage of the human spirit of the deceased from the physical into the spiritual world.
Wow. How did you come upon that story? That's such an impressive story.
Well,
in itself.
I was involved in the Gurdjieff movement and studied a lot with his groups around the world back in my earlier days, and I learned a number of the sacred movements from various Gurdjieff teachers around the world.
Wow.
So we often include a Gurdjieff sacred movement within the repertoire of each single performance.
Wow. And that's just one part of the performances you're bringing.
Yes.
This spring season.
Yes. We have five pieces on the program, and there is some new work. It's a ballet called Liturgies, and it has an incredible set piece and fabulous costumes. And then we have a very, very powerful closer, which is called Sadhu. Sadhus are the holy men and women of India who have renounced the world.
Wow.
And the music is full of glass. The costumes are incredible. It's a real high-energy piece. And then we have two other pieces on the program that are a little bit softer. So I think there's something for everyone.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't gotten an opportunity to see this in person, but we have a pretty strong dance community in the Roaring Fork Valley, and I feel like a lot of the dancers here would love to be part of that and just see what you've got to offer. I'd love to talk more about kind of this what the Zikr Dance Ensemble is about and your kind of evolution, because there's so many, you know, different genres of dance out there, and I know you've been part of that. Like classical dance, of contemporary and dance, and into this ensemble. But I love this motivation and vision behind Zikr Dance Ensemble to tap into this and to connect with this higher level of consciousness. Can you take talk more about that process and how you're striving towards this, you know, more transcendent experience for the dancers, for the audience?
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. First of all of our dancers are classically trained in ballet.
Okay.
Because it still remains the foundation of all professional dance in the Western world.
Mm-hmm.
But they also have to be very, very multifaceted because they have to be excellent contemporary dancers as well. And in today's world of professional dance, you've really got to be able to do everything, not just classical ballet, Swan Lake in one one part of the evening, but also doing perhaps even barefoot works that are in a much more contemporary modern style.
Wow.
So the dancer's really required to have a tremendous amount of versatility and adaptability.
Wow.
But because of my earlier studies in spiritual science and metaphysics, I was always attracted to dance in its use as kind of a ritual or a profound kind of movement that is more than just entertainment, because mm-hmm. this is what we forget. In the Western world, we primarily think of dance as entertainment, and it is, and no question about it. Every form of dance is wonderful, but we sometimes forget that in many, many, if not even more places around the world, dance is more than that. It's a profound experience to touch the divine within ourselves and to reach out and to the spirit world outside of ourselves. You know, African tribes have sacred dances, Aborigines that try to reach out and touch their ancestral spirits. But in many places around the world, dance is something more profound than just entertainment. And that's what Zikr is all about. I've always just been fascinated with that. And I think that some of the work that I've tried to do is, it's a little bit, I felt channeled sometimes that this is something that came to me. It's definitely not a typical dance company. It's a very unique dance company, and therefore it has sort of a particular niche. We don't do Nutcrackers. We don't do Romeo and Juliet.
Right.
We don't do Coppelias. And those ballets I've done for years, and they're wonderful, and I love them. They're my heritage.
Mm-hmm.
But Zikr strives to do something just a little bit different through the choreography, the music, some of the special effects we have, to not only have hopefully a transforming experience for the dancers, but also for the audience.
Yeah, and I had a question for you about the audience. Is there something or a way when you buy your ticket, you know, you're preparing to go into a space to, you know, watch a performance like this, but is there something else that people can do to kind of prepare for? I mean, you've got all kinds of things, the spiritual aspect, the metaphysical aspect, but you've also got slide projections, visual effects,
yes.
and all kinds of
yes.
things.
Yes. You know, this is an interesting question because I've kind of gone back and forth with this my whole career. Just in the last year, one of our major sponsors, who lives in Rifle, by the way,
oh, wow.
was screaming at me, saying, David, you have got to put more information and description in the program about what these pieces are about. And I get that. However, I kind of also feel that I don't want to do that because I respect so much what each audience member gets out of it for themselves.
Oh, yeah.
One of the most fascinating things for me as a choreographer is after a performance and an audience member comes up and goes, oh, wow, I got this out of that piece. Is that what you were intending? And it may not have been what I was intending at all. But it's fascinating to hear what they got out of it.
Right.
And it just emphasizes the fact that it's such a mysterious process. It touches the subtle aspects of our psyche. Because dance is the art form that employs the most metaphor of all the arts. Now, however, I will admit I capitulated to my sponsor. So I do have to I do have descriptions of all the pieces in the program in this particular show that we're bringing up to the mountains.
Yeah. Well, that's helpful for some people that need that or might feel they need that.
Yeah.
Just to have that experience.
But you also have the option of just putting down the program and just watching the piece, you know, and getting out of it what you get.
Exactly. Yeah. And I that you reminded me of a saying or I don't know where it came from, but how well, you're talking about dance as kind of the ultimate form of expression. And I've heard about, you know, two-dimensional, three-dimensional art, like sculptures and painting, represent or can kind of encapsulate space. And when you're listening to music, yes, that kind of encapsulates time passing.
That's
but,
right.
But dance, right, dance takes both of those into consideration, and you experience,
exactly,
those. Yeah. I've only done a little bit of dance, tiny bit of dance in my lifetime. And it's a real connection to your body, I feel like. And it does take up that space and that time, and it connects you with, I don't know, something else. It's not just the movements. So there's something else at play, I think.
Absolutely.
And I know you've talked about dance on the website, and I think I watched a video of you. Dance as a powerful tool. And I wonder if you could share your thoughts behind that statement. How do you think dance is able to, you know, shape and inform those involved, the dancers in that experience, or the audience, you know, as a participant or a viewer? You've kind of touched on that a little bit, and how they,
yes,
receive and experience that.
Well, you know, I was just talking to my dancers yesterday, right before rehearsal,
mm-hmm,
that I, being a dancer, can relate to, obviously, to them. And I and they have all had the experience that when you are dancing, it transcends so much of the conflict that we experience on the physical plane. Hmm. I mean, my worries about money and relationships and anxiety would evaporate, hmm, when I danced. It was, I came to another level. And once you've experienced that as a dancer, it's very difficult, if not impossible, to walk away from it.
Wow.
Because it really is, embodies a transcendent experience.
Mm-hmm.
So it's difficult, I think, for audience members who have not had that experience to totally grasp it. However, I'm a firm believer that performances project a tremendous amount of energy out to the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I think we as creators, whether it be we're a composer or a painter or a sculptor or a dancer, that I think we have a very important responsibility to touch something higher than us and try to manifest it and embody it on the stage. Because my mentor told me that the theater is the only sort of medium in our world that encompasses all seven divine rays of energy,
hmm,
power, education, philosophy, the artistic rays, science, magic, all of those different components. And so the dancer's energy going out to the audience, I firmly believe, has the ability to touch our psychic senses, even if we're not really totally conscious of it.
Hmm.
I think that something magical happens there, and I know I've experienced it. I've talked to audience members who've experienced it, and maybe it's sometimes a little rare, but when those magical moments happen and it all comes together, for me, it's worth all of the pain and, mm-hmm, heartache and struggle and hard work.
Wow. I love that kind of full vision of the experience. From your perspective as the artistic director and as a dancer and thinking of the audience, that's really inspiring to kind of think about how that all plays together. Before we wrap up, I'd love to just have you share how we can learn more about the Zicker Dance Ensemble and how to catch you guys at the Ute Theater in Rifle coming up.
Yes, we're at the Ute on Saturday night, April 5th at 7:30 p.m. You can go to the Ute website and get tickets, or you can call their box office. If you've not gone to the Ute, it's a wonderful theater.
Yeah.
It's really great for the audience. Well, you've been there. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then also, too, we're in Grand Junction on Sunday night, April 13th at 6 o'clock p.m.
Oh, great.
At the Robinson Theater at Colorado Mesa University.
Oh, great.
Now, that particular show, you have to go onto our website to get tickets for, and that's very simple, www.zickerdance.com, and you can get your tickets there, or you can get them at the door in Grand Junction as well.
Excellent, and for those listening, Zicker is spelled Z-I-K-R. That's what you'll Correct. Look for. Well, David, Taylor, thank you so much for calling in, for Express Yourself today. It's a pleasure to get to know you, and hopefully I'll get to come out on April 5th and experience this firsthand. It sounds like an amazing time.
Oh, fabulous, Brian. I hope you can.
Yeah. I really appreciate your time, and good luck.
Come. If you can, meet me in the lobby.
Oh, I will. Yeah, I'll come say hi. And good luck tonight in Boulder for the kickoff of the spring season. That's great.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
All right. We're going to take us out here with some Philip Glass, actually. So you inspired me.
Oh.
Thanks so much, David.
Thank you. Have a good one.